Well, hello, I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. It is great to have you all here on this Wednesday, like we do every Wednesday. Mike Renner is joining us. Before we talk to Mike, I just want to let you guys know this podcast has grown exponentially over the last couple weeks. So just to lay things out for you of what we do around here during the season, and we're calling this basically during the season, I got local experts on the biggest stories every Monday. Sage Rosenfels every Tuesday. As I said, Mike from Pro Football Focus is every Wednesday. My man Mike Sando is on every Thursday. And we might get some guests lined up for Fridays, but I'll be picking games Fridays for sure. This Friday will be a Twitter session, Twitter questions, but that's somewhat of an open slot at this point. So that's what's going on there. I'm a former NFL scout, former college scout. I was at ESPN for 10 years. I've been doing all kinds of things since. Have my own website, williamsonfootball.com. But Mike, what is shaking with you?
Not much. Just excited for the preseason to be over. I'll say I'm yeah, tired right. of these fake games. It's annoying. I need to watch real football here.
Yeah, I enjoyed week three quite a bit, but now it's like, okay, let's get the real stuff going because this one's tough.
Yeah, yeah, the fourth week of preseason. I think I'll be watching college, to be honest, Thursday night, not even pro.
I don't blame you. I host the Steelers preseason post-game shows, and this is always the worst one. I mean, there's like nothing to talk about. No one calls in. It's slow, man. And then you get done at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it's not great, but we're almost 1 week away, and so that'll be a lot more fun.
A lot more fun. A really interesting division to me is the AFC South. I assume you agree with me. The NFC is far more potent, superior to the AFC. And I wonder, I mean, if I squint hard enough, a team out of this division could come out and really make noise in the AFC and maybe even go to the Super Bowl. Who knows? I'm curious your overview here, and then we'll break down each team.
Yeah, this division is one of the more difficult ones to make heads or tails of because you could convince me any four of the teams end up winning it, you know, at the end of the day. You know, but I do think the Colts are clearly the least talented team, and I think the Jaguars are the most talented team in the division. But at the same time, the Jaguars have probably the worst quarterback in the division, which is, you know, the most valuable position on the field. So I do think, though, the Jaguars defense is just so dominant that I believe they do take the division once again. But we'll have to see, I guess.
Yeah. Let's start with the Colts. I mean, that's the one team I cannot see winning the division. And I'm a Luck believer, and I'm hoping he comes back strong. But he looks like he's still easing back into shape. And I think their defense might be the worst in the league.
Yes, I think that's definitely a debate for either them or Miami at this point, who's going to be the worst defense in the NFL. They don't have talent on the back end. They just don't have enough. You know, you need something there, and they really just don't have it, even though they have some young guys that I like. But man, that was the whole Andrew Luck era. They've been just bereft of talent on that side of the ball.
I think they'll be a really interesting team this offseason. They have a ton of cap space. They're set up to really add a lot, but I think this is going to be a really long year. And I know some people out there are picking them over their win total, which I think is like 6 or 6.5, because they played a lot of tight games, Luck returns. I just look at them and think they just don't have enough good players.
No, I agree. And the playmakers on the outside have sort of dried up. All you have now is T.Y. Hilton at wide receiver. No one really around him. Ebron's nice, but he's not anything special at tight end. And really, the running back group is not terribly exciting. Does anything really that excites me there?
No, me either. And I'm not even sure who's going to be the lead back. And I do think I'm impressed with the offensive line additions. And I think Nelson could be, you know, an all-time great. I mean, and that's a good start. But there just isn't enough other than that. Somewhere where you do get more than enough is our friends at The Athletic. So I need you to go to theathletic.com/lockedonNFL, all one word. That gives you 40% off your first-year subscription, so you're only paying $2.99 a month. I've gotten to know quite a few of the people over there. They have added a handful of prominent national guys, Jay Glazer, Dane Brugler, Lindsey Jones, my buddy Ross Tucker, to go along with all their beat writers. And you know, I know Mark Cabali real well. He's the Steeler beat writer. He's just one example of all the great writers over there. And it's kind of the future of sports journalism. The Athletic is a subscription-based publisher of smarter sports coverage for diehard fans. Their model is simple. There's no ads, there's no pop-ups, there's no autoplay videos, none of that nonsense. Instead, readers subscribe for authentic, in-depth coverage written by journalists who know their teams inside and out, like I mentioned with Mark. Coverage will go beyond game recaps and trade speculation. Subscribers have access to local and national content. And this is crazy. There's more than 650 new stories published every week across all sports on The Athletic. Unreal. So like I mentioned, they are also having a national presence now. So go to theathletic.com/lockedonNFL, and that will save you 40% off your first year subscription and make it to only $2.99 a month. So you mentioned the Jags, and picking at the top of the draft year after year and having gobs of cap space eventually paid off.
Yeah, it really did. That's actually like pretty spot on. Like they just, you hit on four straight picks and then you have signed two lights out free agents. And oh yeah, you too can have, you know, one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Absolutely. And I do think it absolutely is in contention for the best defense in the NFL, particularly pass defense, which is more important. But I think it's noteworthy too that that unit suffered basically no injuries last year. Miles Jack missed two games and probably could have played, but they weren't prominent games. And I know they're great, but the chances of that staying at that level are probably slim.
No, that's a very good point. This was the healthiest defense in the NFL a season ago. I do like that they kept adding to it, you know, with Taven Bryan in the first round, then yeah. Ronnie Harrison in the third. They kind of said to themselves, you know, we need more depth. We know that we were the healthiest defense. We need more players that could step in if need be. But like you mentioned, if Jalen Ramsey or, you know, A.J. Boye or anyone up there gets hurt, all of a sudden you're just not as good. That isn't the best defense in the NFL anymore. So, yes, you hope those guys, if they do stay healthy, it's obviously on paper the best defense in the NFL, but everyone suffers injuries. You know, everyone gets the injury bug, does hit, and, you know, it strikes for everyone. So any one of those guys goes down and all of a sudden you're not the same. And then you're relying on the offense to sort of pick up the slack when, from Blake, what we saw from Blake Bortles this preseason, he hasn't necessarily, you know, taken the proverbial next step.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess people in the Jags corner could tell me Telvin Smith, especially Miles Jack, Ndokwe, Ramsey, maybe their best football is ahead of them, that these guys are immensely talented and they could get better. But just history shows, and your point about the young depth is great, history shows that they probably won't repeat, especially as their pass defense.
Yeah, I think that's just, like you mentioned, that's every single team. You know, even the Falcons last year had the exact same talent offensively, yet had vastly different results than they did in 2016. It just somehow doesn't seem to, it is regression to the mean. That's sort of how, you know, statistics and stuff works. So I do think they will take a tad bit of a step back, but like you mentioned, they do have a lot of young talent and guys that could be better this year than they were last year. So it wouldn't surprise me if they are one of those, the rare exception that does end up repeating or coming close to repeating how good they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to put a chip down, I would probably pick them as the best defense in the league, but they might be in contention for worst pass offense in the league, and passing game's key, and you mentioned Bortles, and I don't think Bortles is a starting NFL quarterback. It amazes me that they didn't sign Teddy Bridgewater, draft Lamar Jackson, do something, you know, something to at least push him or build a future plan. And I didn't understand that at all. I love the Norwell addition, and I'm always a believer in building lines like we talked about with the Colts. And I think Fournette could have another huge year and maybe even expands his role as a receiver. I just think this passing game is going to hold the team back.
No, I agree. I don't think the running game, even with Norwell up front, is going to be so dominant. It's not going to be, you know, Cowboys level running game from a few years back to where just, you know, line up however you want to line up and hand the ball off, no matter how many they got in the box, and you'll get 4 yards a pop. It's not going to be that good. And so if it's not that level, you're still going to rely on Blake Bortles to win you some games. And I don't see it. So while I like them still in this division, I like them to be good, I think they're going to be just severely limited when it comes to playoff time with quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely my concern there, too. And just, you know, they lost Marquise Lee, and the other receivers are okay, but they're not great. There certainly isn't the number one there. And they were fortunate. I mean, they were they got early leads a ridiculous percentage of the time last year. And again, that probably won't keep up.
Yeah, I do think there's a chance of they are a fairly strong regression candidate for a few different reasons. But at the same time, they had a number of games where they were just blowing teams out last year and really putting it on, mm-hmm. you know, good teams. So they're, like I said, this division is hard to make heads or tails of because all the question marks with all these teams going around the division.
Yeah, I really am excited about the Titans. And then I'm sitting there at that game on last week, week three, when they came to Pittsburgh, and just a lot of doubts. You know, that Mariota is somebody I'm really in his corner, but I thought he played poorly. I know it's only one game, new system. I'm on the fence about this team.
Yeah, the Mariota thing is what really is holding me back from the Titans, because I love the additions they made defensively. We talked about Harold Landry last week, and how good he could be as a rookie, and I like the additions in that secondary. I think Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler could be, you know, one of the better cornerback duos. They should be one of the better secondaries in the NFL. But at the same time, Mariota, just something's off there to me. Like, he has, I don't think, even with a new offense there, that he's going to be taking the next step. Just accuracy issues and odd decision making issues that just make me think that, you know, he's not joining the upper echelon of elite quarterbacks. He's not even joining the sort of second tier. He's that sort of quarterback purgatory where he's fine. He's not going to lose you games, but I'm not sure if that's good enough. You know, I'm not sure if that's good enough with the rest of the talent around him there.
Yeah. Right now he's closer to Dalton than Wentz. And I kind of thought the opposite would be true, and maybe it proves me wrong. And I mean, I think the coaching staff change on offense in particular could really pay off, but I wish we were seeing more. I think Corey Davis could be a star. I think their running game should be really good, but it's an odd one. You know, it's an odd group of running backs. What do you think of the skill guys?
Yeah, I really like Corey Davis coming out, and I thought when they drafted him, I was a fan of the pick. I didn't think it was a reach by any means. I thought he was the best wide receiver in that draft, and then really, you know, added injury. Really nothing much after that, but at the same time, he was coming from a vastly different skill level coming from where he came from, Central Michigan, going to the NFL. There's just so many things you have to do to make that transition. This is a big year for him. If he does not make that transition this year, I'll probably, like, that's, you need to be by year two as a wide receiver usually making strides. If he's not, that's going to be a big question mark, because they don't have a ton outside of him that I'd like their talent-wise and the skill-making, at the playmaking positions. Delanie Walker is probably on his last legs at this point, so I do think they need him to take a big step forward for this offense to be good.
Yeah, I agree, and I have some faith that he will, but I felt better about it before than I do now. You know, I think Walker will still be a contributor. Jonnu Smith has probably a decent future, same with Taywan Taylor, and Rishard Matthews is solid, but a lot of it does rest on Mariota and Davis.
Yes, I 100% agree. I do think, though, like you said, the pieces are in place there with the offensive line and running game as well to help him out. And I do wonder how much they'll use Mariota as a running threat, because they really didn't use him too much in that, you know, frame last year. But have every sort of high-level offense that's operated with a rushing threat at quarterback, you know, when it was the 49ers with Colin Kaepernick, whether it was the Panthers with Cam Newton, has just gone option heavy. When you go option heavy with your quarterback, that's the best way to get out of, or that's the best way to, one, improve your run game, and two, improve your looks in the passing game. So if they're going under center a lot like they were last year, I think that's just going to be a mistake.
Yeah, it's cheap yardage. And if you were in a fantasy league, would you want Henry or Lewis?
Lewis probably, just because of the targets, but at the same time, he's not going to be getting the touchdowns. I think they're going to be using Henry at the goal line. So I'd be off of both of them. I wouldn't really want either, because it's it looks like it's going to be such an even split in terms of usage that always worries you. You can just get, it always just is frustrating to me when you have a guy who's not necessarily the guy for a team.
Yeah, I agree. And I can't quite figure out if Henry's good or not. I mean, I want to believe in him, and sometimes he looks great, but he's such an odd runner. I just can't figure out if he's good or not. And the same is true with their defense. I think the defense is improving. And I love that they have a really good secondary, like you mentioned, three deep at corner, really good safety at Byard. They should have some pass rush, and then you add some more with Landry. Casey's the straw that serves the drink. They're okay at linebacker, too, and Evans could make that a strength. Do you see it? Can you squint hard enough to see this as a top 10 defense?
I think so. I do think the addition of Malcolm Butler was pretty big because that's clearly an upgrade over Logan Ryan. I think when they were both in New England, Malcolm Butler was the better cornerback, but his career has been trending downwards as of late, unfortunately, so you're not sure exactly what you're getting, but I do think it's still an upgrade. And Adoree Jackson was good as a rookie, especially towards the later half of the year. And I didn't think he'd be that good coming out because he was very raw coming out of USC. I didn't hate the pick. I thought it was I think we had him as a little later in terms of value. We had him as like an early second, but you could see the raw talent there on tape, and it translated a lot quicker than I expected, which is encouraging heading into year two. He could take another step forward and be add to the group of shutdown corners in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's on a star like path, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. Just from what we saw, not a lot of rookie corners play that well in our grading system.
All right, the last team in the division, and we will wrap this podcast up, is a really interesting one, Houston Texans. I mentioned fantasy before, and if you read any fantasy guide out there, they'll all tell you Deshaun Watson can't possibly keep up this rate of touchdowns, and it was an anomaly. And I'm not saying it isn't, but I do think there's a chance that he's a pretty special player. I was kind of low on him coming out of school. I mean, I didn't love the arm strength. I think that there's a lot more turnovers in his future than what we saw in year one. I think he's an inherent risk taker for better or worse. And I absolutely think that's the worst offensive line in the league.
Oh, it is hands down the worst offensive line in the league. And it is prohibitively bad. It's to the point where I differ from probably the general consensus the most on a few teams this year. The Texans are 100% one of them. I don't think there's a chance this team makes the playoffs. I don't care how good you are at quarterback. When you have an offensive line this bad, it's one, going to get Watson hurt again. A guy with coming off an ACL, just you're not going to feel as comfortable as you did a season ago in the pocket. It's just going to be in the back of your mind, that injury. And so with an offensive line like that, it's going to be 15 to 20 dropbacks a game where you're going to be facing pressure. And that's just not, it's unsustainable, and you're not going to be able to play well behind that coming off an ACL injury. I just don't see that being a possibility, especially for a young quarterback who had a lot of turnover worthy plays as a rookie. He did not, while he had a lot of big plays, he was also putting the ball in harm's way a lot as well. So I do think the offense, I just don't see it being high level, performing at the level it was when he did play a season ago. Like I said, it wasn't sustainable. And then the other side of the ball, I think people forgot how bad that defense was last year. I know they didn't have J.J. Watt and they didn't have Whitney Mercilus for a lot of the year, but it just was not good whatsoever. They didn't really address the biggest issue on the defense, which was the back end. All they added was really Tyrann Mathieu and Aaron Colvin there, which Mathieu has just not been the same player ever since his multiple, ACL injuries. And Colvin, while a nice piece, has only been a slot cornerback, and he was a slot cornerback in one of the most talented defenses in the NFL, an easy position sort of to hide a guy. So I don't think it's not a championship-level defense whatsoever, in my opinion.
See, I think I like their defense more than you. And obviously this is not going to happen, but if I told you the Texans' offensive line played at a league average pace for the whole year, are they a Super Bowl contender?
I still don't think so.
Yeah.
I just don't see the defense being anything better than, I don't think it's a top 10 defense. I don't think there's really any chance with the talent that's on in that secondary.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a well-coached defense. I'm a big Clowney believer. I think Watt probably won't be the amazing Watt that broke your guys', scoring system way back when. But him coming back is certainly a huge positive, as is Mercilus. I like their second-level guys. I think Cunningham's a good player. I think that they're decent there. I thought the Honey Badger played better as the season went on. I don't know if he'll ever be the same player. But I think I like the front better than you do.
Yeah, I can see the front being good, but like you mentioned, I just don't see J.J. Watt. That injury was catastrophic. And if he's not the dominant level player, it's not a game changing sort of unit to that can cover up the fact that their number one cornerback's, 34 years old, and that right. their other cornerback was just abysmal. Kevin Johnson was just probably the worst cornerback in the NFL a season ago when he was out in the field. So that's the thing that worries me the most.
Yeah, and long term, it's wonderful you have Watson, and nobody was saying that giving up two first round picks to get him was a bad move. Franchise quarterbacks are worth everything in the world. But if you can't keep him healthy and you go into an offseason needing really the two positions that are hardest to acquire, defensive backs, namely corners, and an entire offensive line, it's going to be hard to get where you need to be long term.
Yeah, the offensive line overhaul is something that you need four positions. Yeah, right. And you need the most valuable positions at tackle too, that just have not been hitting free agency lately. Good quality offensive tackles. So they look it might be this way for a while. It might be a sort of Seahawks-esque sort of stretch for them where, yeah, you have this incredibly dynamic quarterback, but how are you going to sustain high-level offense with just nothing going on in front of them?
Yeah, right. I mean, so in the end, how many playoff teams come out of this division, and how would you rank them final standings?
I think two do end up coming out of the division. I want to say the Jaguars win the division. I think the Titans make the wild card again, very similar to last year. And then I think Texans are third, Colts fourth.
Do you agree, though, that all four could disappoint? That the Jags could win the division and win 8 or 9 games. The Texans...
I do think so. Yeah, that's why this is difficult for me, because there's big question marks pretty much for everyone. The team I feel most confident in not disappointing, though, is the Titans, actually. I think they just have the most complete sort of roster from top to bottom to where,
right.
unless Mariota gets hurt, I think they're just going to be a solid team no matter what.
They clearly have the fewest holes of the division.
Yes.
The other three teams have big worries, like offensive line, defense, passing offense. Those are big things.
Yeah.
Mike, this was awesome. Let's do it again next week. Thanks so much.
For sure, Matt. Thanks for having me.
All right, bud. Take care.